Before we start today's podcast, a quick heads up on Sheerluxe's VIP Club. From restaurants, bars and hotels to beauty, wellness and shopping, Sheerluxe partners with some of London's best destinations and hottest brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. So why not sign up? It'll cost you just £5 a month or £50 for the year. Use your card once or twice and you'll have made that amount back in no time. For more information, visit sheerluxevip.com. Welcome to the Sheerluxe Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Heather Steele, Hattie Cotmore, and Becky Hull. Hi, everyone.
Morning.
Hi.
What has everybody been watching this week? I feel like I'm the only person not watching Criminal currently.
Probably.
Yeah, I think you might be.
Tell me about it. This is a new Netflix series, right?
Yeah, so it landed last Friday and it's unique in the sense that it's one series, but there are basically four different versions. So there's a UK one, a German one, a French one and a Spanish one. And each country has three episodes that have exactly the same set and are in their native languages and each have their own sort of criminal department. They're not the same stories.
But it's same... But
format.
Yeah.
The format's the same.
Got it. Okay, so wait, so what's the benefit of that?
I think it's just so you can see how crimes are solved in different ways in different countries.
Okay.
And I think it's just so that each country's got their own kind of... I mean, I don't know how much the rest of you have seen, but I've seen all the UK ones and then one of each of the others. And I'm like, oh, I prefer the British ones. But that's probably because I recognise the cast and
yeah.
It seems... a bit more familiar, so maybe every other country prefers their own.
Yeah. So what is it actually about?
So basically, in the UK one, which is the only one I have seen, it's got a big cast. I'll say that. It's got David Tennant, it's got Catherine Kelly, it's some big names.
She was in...
Coronation Street.
Yeah, she started in Coronation Street, but she's done Happy Valley.
Okay.
Cheat, which you liked, Becky.
Oh, I loved Cheat.
Mr. Selfridge.
Okay.
Yeah. So it kind of, each episode focuses on one person that has or hasn't committed a crime. You kind of follow it through and then at the end it just comes to a roundup conclusion and it basically is a police interview for each suspect.
Okay.
That is what the episode is.
And is it one suspect per episode?
Exactly, yeah. Which is the only thing I would say I didn't like, because I saw the first one with David Tennant and I was like, oh my God, we're going to have three juicy episodes of whether he did it, and then it was over and I was like, oh. But so be prepared for the fact that each one is a different suspect.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I was so excited to watch it. I love crime shows.
Me too.
But I completely agree in that I got partway through and realised we were going to find out exactly what happened by the end of the first episode. I sort of assumed you'd see three suspects in this series for the same crime, which
I see.
A new crime in each episode. So whilst I love the format and that you just are watching one interview, I wanted more.
Yeah, me too. It's great, but I guess it's not a binge. It's not something you can sit and really feel like you're getting loads from it.
But that's quite nice, because you can presumably watch each episode in isolation.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not a long commitment.
It, on the flip, like, if you just want to get it done with, you find out your killer straight away.
That is quite nice.
Yeah. I really don't think anyone should binge it, because every single episode is the same formula in the same room. And a lot of it is basically three rooms. There's the interrogation suite, which is dominated by this vast two-way mirror, and then you get a peek behind the mirror, often at the sort of unit who are watching, and they're kind of giving their verdicts like guilty, 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 not guilty. And then there's also the sort of corridor where the coffee machine is, where you actually see people like relax a little and be a bit more honest and open and reveal themselves.
Okay.
But that said, because even the German ones are set in exactly the same set, like exactly the same, it can get really formulaic because it is essentially two sort of detectives grilling one person.
Okay.
There's something quite theatrical about that, though.
Yeah,
it's
theatrical.
Like the stage, and then they do reference, I've only seen the first episode, but sort of stop playing to behind the mirror to the whoever they're interrogating. And there is sort of that stage, backstage element of it, which is quite cool.
But the whole format itself sounds like it could be a play as well.
Yeah.
Like that whole concept of just all taking place in one room or two, whatever, you
and
know, small space.
And there are lots of monologues as well. And there's lots of, you know, especially in that first episode with David Tennant, which... I've got to say, I think it's the best one because he's just brilliant in it.
Yeah.
But there's lots where there's just moments of silence and it's just watching for ticks and clues that he might be giving just by, you know, picking up a pen or sort of taking a jumper off because he's getting a bit bit hot and bothered, like little subtle things like that that makes it brilliant telly.
Well, speaking of crime, I've got a new podcast to recommend. This is real life crime as opposed to fiction. There is a new podcast called Broken about the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. He was the American financier who was a convicted sex offender and was in prison when he committed suicide back in August, having been charged for a number of counts, including rape and sexual misconduct. He was about to undergo trial when he committed suicide because multiple women had come forward with claims against him and obviously left them without the opportunity for justice when he committed suicide and a lot of unanswered questions because it never got the chance to go to trial. So the podcast is sort of attempting to do the work or to kind of put into the public domain the information that otherwise might have come from a trial. He is being sort of trialed posthumously, but when somebody's died, you sue their estate as opposed to the individual. So it's never going to be the kind of deep criminal investigation that it had been had he been alive. So, as I say, this podcast is sort of doing that work. It is being done by a journalist called Arielle Levy. She's from The New Yorker, so she's the host, and special correspondent Julie Brown, who is from the Miami Herald and was the journalist who was investigating the kind of entire scandal for 2 years prior to his arrest, and she kind of was the big journalistic whistleblower for the whole affair. But also behind it is, interestingly, the director of The Big Short and Vice, which was the movie last year with Christian Bale about Dick Cheney, a man called Adam McKay. So obviously there's kind of a political storytelling heavyweight behind it all as well, which it's really journalistic, but there's a very clear narrative, which obviously his involvement has helped with. So it's unfolding in real time, kind of on the podcast apps. There's only been 3 episodes so far. I listened to the first 2, and obviously the first one kind of gives a good oversight of the scandal. And then I believe that each one going forward is going to delve into a different area of the case. So the second one focuses on Ghislaine Maxwell, who was Epstein's kind of second in command, right-hand woman, who has a really fascinating history herself, a really shady character, and is still sort of at large.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, the woman's got serious repercussions coming. Ooh. But yeah, she has been accused of kind of roping in numerous young girls to be sex slaves for him. So it's really, really messed up story.
Is it quite a heavy listen?
Not yet. I suspect if there are episodes down the line that either interview or focus on the women who were abused by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and, you know, the others involved in his ring, then it will probably take a heavier turn. But at the moment, it's more kind of setting up the story and what happened, and in particular that second episode about her, and sort of it doesn't quite delve into the psychological reasons why someone might do what they did, but it gives a lot of information about her background. She comes from a really fascinating family. I think they described her father as a combination of Donald Trump, Rupert Murdoch, and some like crazy Eastern European. Yeah, I think she comes from a really interesting background and dark background too. So yeah, so worth a listen. It's interesting, and if like me, you kind of, you know, you watch the news and you're aware of these cases, but sort of sometimes the facts kind of pass you by a bit and you hear the kind of overall what's going on, but you don't necessarily quite fully understand the background. It's a really good investigative look at that.
I'd be intrigued to see if they do a Prince Andrew episode. Yes. And do they touch on his suicide? Because there's still that kind of theory that he might have been...
There are multiple times where they refer to his death as under mysterious circumstances. Yeah.
I mean, it is still very bizarre.
It is really bizarre. And yeah, there are a lot of conspiracy theories about that. As I say, they haven't yet, but I'd like to know. And I was wondering about the Prince Andrew thing myself as well. I suspect that because it's, you know, it's an American produced podcast, they might. I don't think if it was in the UK,
they're allowed to speculate in the way that we're bound by sort of unspoken agreement that we can't really delve into that.
I mean, it is fascinating. I might even tune into that. We all know I don't listen to podcasts, so there we go.
That's a ringing endorsement to my recommendation.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, Becky, we're going to do some serious beauty chat today. You wrote a feature on the best cream blushers to have on your radar. This speaks to me, this feature. I love a cream blusher. So tell me, what made the cut?
So I absolutely love cream products, any formula, and blush is probably my favourite. And it came from the fact that actually in my previous job, somebody said to me when I was wearing powders, they were like, oh my God, you do know it can get like really dusty. I tried a cream blush and I have honestly never looked back. So I have tried so many in my time, as you know, Charlotte. Big fan. And here we have got... a very concise edit, I would like to say.
Yeah, because actually I was quite gutted that my numero uno didn't make the cut. Really, I did message you about it. I was like, where is the sealer, cream blusher?
I tried to pick a really good mix because I think the problem with the I Forget is makeup can become really expensive. So here we've got a good balance. I've got the Glossier Cloud Paints, which if you haven't tried, they are like nothing else. Because of their texture, they're pretty sheer. So when you put it on the skin, they literally just sink in.
I love
it. You're a fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I have to say, I'm banging on about this other one, but I'm pretty converted to the
Glossier
one.
Pretty converted. Yeah. And £15, they're not super cheap, but they're in these tubes that go the distance. I mean, I've had mine for over a year, and you only need, like, what, a tiny blob?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite excessive with my blusher.
I mean, go for it. Why not? But also, what I love, and makeup artists always recommend you mix two together, because you can just get really clever. Nice. Ooh. I think there is Beam and Haze, and if you mix the two together, it has this, like, really beachy glow.
Ooh. Because I use Puff. Which is really pink, but because I'm so pale, pink really lifts me. I always.
You got it on now?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like my only thing about it is they describe it as a paint, and you do have to really rub it in. I sometimes find that I literally look like I've kind of got two things of paint onto my cheeks.
But it seems even if you think you've got too much on, just keep buffing it and it will really blend down because that's the beauty of the formula.
Do you blend them with a brush?
I do, but I would imagine, especially with these, anyone would say you can just dab it on with your fingers. Because it's not like it's a really thick, cakey one. You can easily just pat.
Yeah, it's got quite a wet consistency.
Consistency, exactly. But that's kind of why it looks so pretty on the skin.
I'm desperate to use it. Basically, I've been using Benefit Dandelion, and I'm waiting until I finished it before I can purchase one of these. But those things last years. I've been using loads every day because I'm quite strict on using something up before getting something new.
Yeah, it's good.
Saves cash, but honestly, like these came out nearly a year ago, and I've been desperate to try one. But I think I've probably still got another 6 months at least left on that dandelion.
Oh,
so until then,
powers that be are listening, then hook Heather up.
I will.
What is the dandelion one also a cream?
No, it's a powder one. So I'm really keen to try these cream ones, but I'm like, no, just keep powering through.
But what
on
are you wearing
powder.
Today? That looks like
that's dandelion.
No, it really looks more like a liquid consistency.
Next on the list is Bobbi Brown's Pot Rouge, which honestly, if you look in any expert's kit, it is in there. I promise you, it's always backstage. It's got really sort of opaque formula that you can build upon. So unlike Glossier, it's sheer, but it's a thicker consistency. So again, you can see it on the skin. It's much more sort of punchy, and I think that's because it can be used on the lips as well.
And that's a little bit more expensive, isn't it?
One? I mean, Bobbi Brown, you are going to sort of pay a bit more for, but again,
they last as well, don't
they really. And that's what I'd say about all of these cream blushes. Although some of them are slightly on the pricier end, I promise you they will last, and also last on your skin. That's one thing. I think powders tend to go a bit dusty throughout the day, whereas creams really
they're sticky.
They're long lasting. And then I've put in the Chanel Healthy Glow Sheer Stick, which again, slightly on the spenny end, but if you prefer a texture that's kind of creamy, but also if you're still into powders, this goes on like a crayon and dries down to a powdery finish.
Clever.
Yeah, it's very clever. And actually, I use this for quite a while. And the only reason I came away from it is because it's not as luminous as others. So it's much better if you prefer a sort of softer, more diffused finish. In fact, I'd probably say this is good for mature skin types.
Okay. And also, presumably that might last a little longer then.
Definitely.
If it sinks in that way.
It really lasts a little longer. And it's very flattering. Like, it's the easiest way to sort of contour your cheeks without using a harsh, heavy brown.
And just a question on where one should apply blusher. I always put mine like right on the apples.
That's
of my cheek.
Kind of have to go like a smile, like nodding.
But should one be using it more in the kind of to contour, like on your cheekbones?
Well, I was talking to Mary Greenwell the other day.
Casual, as you do.
Cash, guys. But she said she has always applied blusher just to the apple of the cheek.
Okay, that's fine.
Because she said it's the prettiest way of doing it.
That's right.
Another makeup artist, Sharon Dowsett, who gave me one tip. If you really want to go a bit crazier, or if you're going on a night out, apply it in a backward Nike tick from your cheekbone to your temple.
Oh, so I'll put a highlighter there.
Exactly.
But I wouldn't necessarily put a blusher there. But
you can.
I've seen that on the catwalk, though, which obviously makes more sense.
And
it's dramatic.
It's a look. I mean, blusher is back in. I mean, it's never really gone away, but it's big for next year.
But you could blend that in, couldn't you?
If you're going to do that, use a brush. Use a kabuki brush. I love a kabuki brush.
What's a kabuki brush?
It's just a sort of buffer brush with very fair bristles.
Fat ones.
Yeah,
like stiff.
So you can really, very good for like
buffing.
Yeah, for buffing.
Got it, yeah.
Anything you just want to push into.
They're tightly packed.
Exactly.
I know the ones, okay.
And then Daniel Sanders' watercolour brush.
This looks lovely.
I thought this looked scary. Like, it looks like proper paint, like you're going in.
Oh, I think it looks like it would be the lovely... Obviously, this isn't the best medium to be describing a bottle. But I know what you mean, Heather. It's got a lot of kind of wording on it. It looks quite industrial almost, yeah, doesn't it? But I think the colour is a really lovely sheer pinky.
Actually, yeah. And this is, I would say, more sheer than the Glossier. Mm. So while Glossier is sheer, this is watery, hence the name, watercolour. You'd need more of this, I'd say, to build up. But this is what I call the OG of cream blushes because it was one of the first to come out and it has been made by Daniel Sandler, who's a pro makeup artist. And he said that what he wanted from a blush was having done makeup for years was something that lasted on the skin. And that is exactly what you get from a cream blush.
Okay, great. Where can you buy that? Where's Daniel's?
You can get that from Look Fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's available in quite a few stores online and available in so many shades as well.
I want to try that one. I think that looks amazing.
And for a budget-friendly option, Elf Cosmetics, which is a brand that's completely vegan and cruelty-free. You're a fan,
I'm a
Heather.
Big fan. I like Elf.
I like the moisturiser, actually.
Yeah, they have really nice stuff. I think if you're going to go for high street makeup, definitely give them a look. And they have launched their Beautifully Bare Cheeky Glow, and it's packed with vitamin E and argan oil, so it's kind of as much as a blusher as it is a little skincare dewy buy. And then, oh my god, this is one of my amazing.
That's gross. So actually, this cool. is your kind of pink. We've got like a full-on Barbie pink.
We've got a fuchsia here, guys. Fuchsia. Now, I love this. Again, it comes in at £30, so this is more an investment, but it is a blush cushion from Lancôme, and it is so spongy that the best bit is when you put your brush in, a lot of the blush is already soaked up into the sponge, so you're not going to deposit too much, but it's already got the benefit of being super, super wet.
So what it looks like is a kind of paint palette almost.
Exactly.
And then a little sponge, so you kind of wet it and dab it and then...
Yeah, it's kind of already wet, so you just need to sort of push your brush into the damp cushion.
So you use a brush and not that sponge that it comes with?
You can use the sponge, okay. But in my opinion, you're going to get a way better finish with a brush.
Okay.
Just because I think the sponge it comes with, you put it on your skin and you can't really play with it. Whereas with a brush, you can just get more texture to your skin.
Okay. And where does a beauty blender sit in that?
You could definitely use a beauty blender. I think beauty blenders come into their own definitely for getting those hard to reach areas with foundation or sort of going back in and covering areas that need a bit more texture. There's no reason you couldn't dunk your beauty blender in there and then just sort of press it into the skin for something that's quite healthy and fresh. But I just personally love a brush.
Sure.
You couldn't use fingers with that.
And obviously this is like a really hot pink in the packaging. Does it come out that pink?
No, completely not. I think that's the beauty of cream blushes. Don't be scared of them because they are very, very easy to sheer out.
And I'm really intrigued about the fact that then Rosie for Autograph is your final one.
Now, Lou and I are obsessed with this and we just suddenly both discovered it when I was like, what are you wearing on your cheeks? And I could have guessed because, again, beautiful, beautiful texture.
It is.
I think that's the word for it. It is so glossy. And also, it's literally just a chunky crayon. Mm. So you can just draw it on, like scribble it on. And this, actually, you could easily just then blend out with your fingers. I've got it on today. There you go, guys. And it is. I think that's what I love about it. It's got a sort of gel, creamy consistency. Scribble it on, pat it in.
You're done.
You are literally done.
For more of Becky's recommendations, then have a look at the piece on the site.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're going to talk about high street makeup now because, Becky, you wrote a feature on the best new high street makeup to try. For those who haven't seen, you took Rich to Boots behind the scenes. It's in last week's episode. And I was... First of all, you are a fountain of knowledge. Like, you really, really are. And second of all, it's amazing to say there are so many good beauty products available that don't cost a fortune.
Oh, and also I think it's worth noting that Boots is worth checking out nowadays because they have really expanded their beauty range. We went to the one in Covent Garden, which is absolutely huge, by the way. I don't know if anyone's been, but it's been completely revamped.
It's right by the station, right?
Right by the station. You come out, it's just opposite. It's where the old M&S used to be. And I think look to High Street now because they really have expanded their ranges and they're stocking really great brands. M&S as well is the same. Some brilliant offerings in beauty.
So we won't run through every product that's in this feature, but can you just give us a quick overview of the brands that we should know and look out for really good affordable beauty?
Absolutely. So I'm going to start with CYO, which is not to bang on about Boots, but CYO is Boots' own brand and they are really worth checking out because I don't think there's anything in their range that's over £15. And again, really not to bang on about creams, really nice creamy bronzing sticks, creamy blushes, good mascaras. If you're on a budget, it's a brilliant one to look to. There's also Soap Brows. Now,
this is interesting. Yes. Guys.
Okay, so can I just say, there was a Beauty Dozen
with Elle from Bambi Does Beauty.
Elle from Bambi Does Beauty last week, and she talked about the Soap Brows, and actually she also had a recommendation from The Ordinary, which I tried to buy the day after I read the feature, but it was sold out. I know.
Such an influencer.
I know, literally. But anyway, so the Soap Brows I keep hearing a lot about.
So basically, makeup artist Nikki, who goes by Nikki Makeup on Instagram, she set this off because she has got phenomenal brows and she creates phenomenal brows for all her clientele. And when asked in an interview with Glamour, they asked her what she uses and it was Soap Brows WB Co. And it is exactly the same as what Elle has mentioned. I'm not joking, it just keeps coming up. And when I found out it's £12, which you might think is a lot, but when you think about the fact it's a soap and it's going to last you for years, I would imagine that is dense. It is fascinating, and I think what's so special about it is it's so simple, but it just works to keep grooming your hairs into like the most neat place. They're not going to budge.
Because that's my issue with brow products, that you can do them first thing in the morning and they look great, but then by the afternoon mine are like down by my
exactly.
In my eyes. And then if you top them up, then they're suddenly really dark.
Yeah, so it's too much product.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think really worth checking out if you sort of have wayward brows or brows that need to be sort of brushed into place or you just want that sort of full feathery effect. Mm. It's clearly very popular.
I was like, could you use it before then using, or like before or after, would you recommend using a coloured product? Because this looks like it's
completely clear. Yeah, so I think the point is, this is definitely, it's worth saying, this is probably more for people that have already got colour in their brows, as in a natural coloured brow. You could use it, Heather, because you've got dark brows.
Okay.
But I think the idea of it is to sort of give your brows that wet finish, but very, very buffed up, like the boy brow trend.
Yeah.
That is what this is going to give you. It's full on.
So would you just use that in your brows?
I mean, you definitely could, but I think if you wanted to, you could then go over it with colour.
Yeah.
I would use just a bit of pencil to colour in. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need like a heavy gel with
it. Fill in the gaps.
Yeah, exactly. I think just fill in the gaps with a bit of pencil or powder. Powder's good to fill in the gaps.
Hattie, what do you use on your brows? They're great.
So usually I use Anastasia Beverly Hills brow pomade. But recently I've been using the NYX Micro Brow Pencil, which actually I love, and it's only £9.
I was going to say, another really good high street.
The Anastasia Beverly Hills is, I can't remember, £20?
Yeah, I think it is around £20,
yeah. So
it's quite a big saving.
Yeah, but that does last. I've had that for over a year, and I've still got loads left because you only need a tiny, tiny bit. But I might be converted now to this
Soap
pencil.
Brow.
Well, I'm desperate to try it. I've never tried it, but I've put it in there because I know it is a solid go-to for many experts.
Well, we need to get one in and
we'll
give it a go.
We need to get one in and we'll try it.
Okay, what else?
And then I'm going to whiz through. So also Collection is a great brand to look out for. Lisa Porter Dixon is a fan as well. And these new palettes, I think there's four different shades and I actually featured it on Beauty Spot because they're just brilliant. They've got amazing pigment and it's £3.99. I've also put H&M's eyeshadow palettes in.
See, I might buy this one because I'm in the, market for a palette and this is £12.99 and it's got loads of different sort of light browns, which is what I'm after.
And I've put H&M
do some amazing makeup.
What?
Yeah.
What is the quality like?
The quality's really good, and I've put here, you know, you'd be forgiven for mistaking this for a Marc Jacobs palette because they are heavy. They feel pretty luxe. I've chosen the palette out of all the makeup because you just get a really nice selection, and again, good pigment, good texture. Brilliant if you're just after an affordable palette that suits kind of smoky eyes, everything from daytime looks to evening. Pixie by Petra I've put in because obviously we all know I'm a bit obsessed with that brand. Very affordable again, covering everything from mascara to shadows, literally everything you will find from Pixie, and they're available in Boots and look fantastic. And then I've put in for lips the Body Shop's new matte lip butters because the Body Shop often get neglected and forgotten about. And I think they do some really brilliant high street products.
Do they still exist?
Yeah!
Are there still stores?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Their makeup is... Also, they always seem to have a 3 for 2 offer on all of their makeup.
Yeah, okay. And some of the best brushes you'll ever try. Oh. And then finally, to round it off, mascaras. I have put in L'Oreal Paris's new Bambi Eye Lash Mascara because you heard it here first. I think the high street do some of the best mascaras around. That is my opinion.
L'Oreal's Hippie one is my favourite. It costs like £8 or £9, I think. It gives me the best eyelashes, but my only thing with it is that you only get the best of it for about 2 weeks, and then it goes back to, for me, just being a bit of a normal mascara. But for those first 2 weeks I use one, I'm like, my eyelashes have never looked better.
Dries out quick.
Yeah. There are ways though to loosen up your mascara if they dry out. Don't you say to run the bottle under hot water?
Yeah, you can run it between your hands. Just don't pump it.
No. Yeah. We all know.
Yeah. Okay, and you've included Topshop on the list. I was a really big fan of Topshop makeup, like 1.0, and now it's back.
It is back.
And still doing really good stuff.
Really good stuff. I think, again, they have some brilliant highlighters, and I think what everyone used to love was that little pot.
I still have it, the little glow pot.
So satisfying.
Mine is probably so out of date, but I love it. It's such a good highlighter.
It's such a good highlighter, and they've now launched it as a liquid sort of champagne-coloured shine one, which I have put into the list. And again, Topshop do some of the best nail varnishes as well.
They always have done. Love and that's them. Slightly more luxe packaging, actually, the updated version.
If you want to sort of treat yourself to something that you know is affordable but looks luxe, get yourself down to Topshop.
Hattie and Heather, any other high street makeup heroes?
My favourite thing on this list, which I have been using for years, is the Collection Lasting Perfection Weightless. Oh, you've put the foundation. I actually use the concealer.
So good.
I think it's $2.99 or something. Ridiculous.
Don't you love that as well?
It's the eyeliner, the liquid eyeliner, $2.99. I've been using it for about 12 years. I've tried many liquid eyeliners and it's the best one.
It's just so good. And I always get it in, I'm quite pale anyway, but the palest, so that it's really, really brightening.
It's called Biscuit or something. I'm pretty sure I'd use that one as well. It's good.
It's great.
It's actually always got a very good flawless finish.
Thanks, Charlotte.
And Heather, anything else?
As Becky mentioned earlier, Elf recently I've been using. So I'm using their brow product at the moment. I'm using their concealer at the moment as well. And they're about a fiver each. Mm-hmm. And I find, the consistency is really good. And they're just as good as other things I've used along the years that have been a lot more expensive. So for me, they're a big one. And Kiko lipsticks at the moment, I used to buy back in the day before everyone started doing more sort of bold colours, but I only used to go to MAC, whereas now I'm using a Kiko one. Now that's, I think they're just as good as the MAC ones and about a third of the price.
Gosh. And MAC are like the brand for lips. Yeah, that's
but
amazing.
Now Kiko is my go-to for lipsticks.
Okay, good to know. I feel so knowledgeable now, which I hope you all do too. For more of Becky's high street beauty recommendations, then have a look at the feature on the site. Okay, Heather, you wrote a feature on 11 great places to eat dumplings in London. This is a piece of content after my own heart. Tell us about your top recommendations for dumplings.
I love dumplings so much. So it was National Dumpling Day last week, so just the tiny hook we needed to get involved. There are loads of great places in London now, and I think, dumplings have been around for centuries, but in London at the moment, they're definitely becoming more popular, so more and more places are opening. My favourite is Bower Zillin, which has now got 3 different destinations. So there's one in Newport Court in Soho, one on Romilly Street also in Soho, and then a new one they've just opened in Borough Market. But they honestly do some of the nicest sort of Cantonese food, like really, really good dim sum, sort of those, the type of ones where they use beetroot and spinach to colour the dumplings, but this isn't dumpling related, but the Dan Dan noodles at Basil Inn is my favourite dish in London. It's like pak choy, mince, and a really spicy sauce with noodles. It's quite a small dish.
Oh my God, that sounds
so
amazing.
Delicious. They taste almost peanut buttery. Honestly, it's kind of a bit satay, a bit spicy. Noodles and pak choy, and it's absolutely amazing.
Yum.
But their dim sum is brilliant.
And sorry, that restaurant, I'm just going to spell it out only because it's a little complicated. It's B-A-O-Z-I-I-N-N.
Yes, and they have nothing to do with bao either, which is a bit confusing, the steamed buns thing, because it's spelt the same at the beginning. They don't serve bao.
Oh, of course, it does say, right, got it. You confused me for a second as well, because bao has just opened a Borough Market.
It has,
as well, haven't they?
No, but bao zilin means the people's canteen in Cantonese, that's what that's all about.
Very popular Din Tai Fung, much lauded Din Tai Fung is on this list.
That had to make the cut, so they've been open in Hong Kong for years and years and years and years, and that one's got a Michelin star, and they opened last year in Covent Garden, had queues around the block for about 5 hours when it first opened. I don't think it's quite so crazy now, but again, they have like some crazy stuff where you can actually watch the chefs do each of the individual 18 folds that they do on their dumpling, and kind of, you know, it's a special thing to try.
Special skills, isn't it?
Definitely. Dumplings Legend as well in Chinatown is brilliant, and that's open late at night, open till 2:30 on a weekend. So if you've been out and about and fancy a late night snack, that is definitely
Dream.
The place to head.
There is nothing better than a trip to Chinatown.
I know, exactly. Also, I really like Opium Cocktail Den, which is also in Chinatown. It's more of a sort of drinking destination, but
I was going to say that looks cool.
It's really cool, but they've got loads of different rooms. I really like the Peony Bar, but again, it's the kind of place where you order a few cocktails and then order a platter of dim sum to kind of soak up the booze.
Winning night,
It's a great night. And then I had to put Royal China on there because it's an old school classic, but their one in Marylebone is Giles Corran's favourite restaurant in London, and they do some really sort of luxe ones, such as Wagyu rolls and crispy lobster dumplings with garlic and frilly rolls with scallop and foie gras. So, you know, something a bit extra if you're in the mood for such a thing.
My favourite dumplings in London are at Yao Cha.
Yeah.
They have a venison puff.
I know the ones.
Which I'm not joking. I would move hell and high water to get those venison puffs. I think they're my favourite dish in the whole of London.
Oh, wow.
Sensational.
That is a statement.
I know Yao Cha is not exactly the most original recommendation.
No, that's why I didn't put it on the list, because I was trying to look for ones that are slightly different, but no.
Yes, and I love that this list is... I have not heard of so many of these places, but if you're looking for just like one insane dish, the venison puffs at Yao Cha. Hell yeah. I'm going to bring the tone down slightly.
Please
and
do.
Just give a shout out to Itsu, who very kindly last week sent in their new range of dumplings to try. These are not ones that are available in store. These are the frozen kind that you can keep at home in the freezer. And they've long done gyozas, but they've now launched like bao bun, like basically dumplings. Yeah. So steamed dumplings in that kind of bao bun texture. Yeah. It's that kind of frothy rice texture with, they've done pulled pork and they've done hoisin duck. And literally, there's like 8 to a tray, and they come with a little like paper bag. You put each bun in its own little paper bag and put it in the microwave for 40 seconds, leave it for 20 seconds, and then take it out of the paper bag and eat it. They were so delicious. Honestly, the flavours, the textures, all of it, like literally quality-wise, no difference to going to a restaurant and having really, really delicious steamed pork buns.
Oh, if you were really late from work one night, imagine being able to get something in 60 seconds.
It's the most unbelievable novelty. Like, the fact that you can get that kind of thing and keep it in the freezer, I was literally blown away. I thought they were absolutely delicious.
I was going to say, you know, we do a regular feature called What's in My Avocado Order, where we kind of interview various nutritionists or foodies or, you know, people we love. And I think we've probably only done about 8 of the features, but I think every single one, minus one, has always said, we've got some of these Itsu frozen dumplings in the freezer.
Genius.
They're just... Yeah. I don't have a freezer, but if I did, I would definitely, I think it would just be rammed full of them.
Yeah,
they sound like a great idea.
So, so useful. I bet you that one was a media for it, wasn't it?
There's yeah, no of course it was, yeah.
Heather, if you had to pick one destination for dumplings, /one dish, are your favourite, what would you go for?
I'm just going to have to go back to Bao Zilin because I just absolutely love it. Can I just point out as well, it's so affordable, honestly. Like, you can go have a couple of beers, a load of dim sum and the Dan Dan noodles for under £20 per person.
Oh, stop.
It's Honestly, no, maybe not with the beers, but it's very affordable and very filling as well. But yeah, they're, I'm not going to try and pronounce it, but they do a sort of steamed ground pork dumpling that comes drenched in a shoe sauce, which is the XO sauce. But yeah, it's just like really spicy and delicious. And, yeah.
I feel like you're really hungry after this. All I keep hearing is they're going,
I'm just really hoping that there are more Itsu buns left downstairs. No,
I didn't try one.
And can you book?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, great.
Yeah, do cool, it.
I'm going to go good there. That's amazing.
I went there for my birthday this year, just took a group of us and we had
fun.
And then went to the cocktail den afterwards and had lots of cocktails. It was a great night out.
Sophisticated.
God, again, some brilliant recommendations. Thanks, Heather. Okay.
I've never had one.
A dumpling?
Never had a dumpling.
Oh, Becky, you like to go out and eat dumplings.
You've never had a dumpling?
Do you know why? The skin bit really makes me feel a bit funny.
No, don't. It's not a skin.
It's like pasta. It's like Asian pasta.
It's like a ravioli, but filled with spicy stuff.
Yeah. Okay, we're going for dim sum.
We're going for dim sum.
Okay, finally, we're going to talk about how to wear florals this autumn. This is a little selfish because I can say this because by the time this has gone out, it will be over. But I have a hen this weekend and florals were the dress code. The hen is into 70s boho style. So I think they were trying to nod to the hippie vibe. But all week I've been agonizing over what to wear because I realized that I actually really do not wear florals.
I was literally about to say this. I don't think I've ever seen you in a floral.
I don't own anything floral and I really struggle. I mean, there are some gorgeous midi maxi dresses in floral, but obviously that's not quite hen attire. Anyway, so I really struggled. So I'm really pleased that Polly put this feature together of some of the best dark, moody, autumnal florals.
I love every single
thing. Yeah, I'm not surprised. And Hattie, I feel like this is probably quite up your street as well, our resident Blair Waldorf. You've got quite a lot of floral pieces, right?
I do have a few floral bits, but I'd usually wear them in summer. So I'm quite loving that this is now an autumn trend too, because I love burgundies, navies, when we get to this time of year. And this is such a good way to wear it, especially with kind of like a high neckline, maxi dress, some western boots. I just think it's a really nice vibe.
Yes, I love that look actually. You could wear like a really chunky cardigan and it's a bit like Chateau Haine vibe. Heather, very you?
Yeah, I love it. Some of these very Vampire's Wife, which I love. Don't own anything yet from Vampire's Wife, but one day it's my dream.
I'm waiting for the high street to do like a really good copy. Oh. You know, I agree, they all kind of reference, but what we need is like a really good high neck, big sleeve, big shouldered Vampire's Wife copy, please.
That's please. But yeah, like a lot of these are quite similar. They've got the dark, like you say, with like puff sleeves, high necks, and those dense floral patterns where from afar you wouldn't necessarily know it was flowers until you get up close.
We have a semi-unspoken rule on the Sherlock's fashion team where we only really feature densely packed, as you so nicely put, floral patterns. We tend to think that the slightly larger prints can look a little cheaper and that, yeah, it looks a bit more expensive to have a busier floral pattern. So that's a kind of modus for that.
I think it's just a bit more sophisticated and grown up, whereas the big ones, not so much.
A bit younger, I agree. Yeah. Becky, would you wear anything on this
feature? I mean, to be honest, I just keep looking at that Rixo one.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's just so nice. And also, I think the shape of that, the fact that it's a round neck, it's not overly puffy, it's gotten sort of quite fitted at the top and a sort of wider skirt. That is completely my
vibe. You like a tent dress, don't you?
I love a tent dress, which is hilarious because I'm 5'2".
No, as I keep saying to you, I really don't think that height matters. I do agree, you've got to wear a bit of a heel only to kind of elongate yourself, but that could be a heeled boot. It doesn't have to be some like whacking great stiletto.
Yeah.
I think it looks great on a small frame.
But I also love some of the blouses. I quite like that you can do that with jeans. That's again very me, isn't it? Let's
that
be honest.
Is very you. So that was my struggle with this hen because that's really on me. I would never wear like a floral blouse and a pair of jeans.
No.
I really hate the whole jeans and a top thing, and I completely get why it's so popular and such a good kind of default combination, but it's just not my style. Yeah. So I really struggled because there are so many of those gorgeous floral blouses out there.
That Anna Mason one, it's pricey, but that is just
amazing.
Speaks to my inner goth so much. Like it's proper Victorian kind of Edgar Allan Poe, Kate Bush. I absolutely love it.
I think it's amazing. Well, for those who are wondering, what I have ordered, and this is a TBC, having spent so much time trying to find the right thing. I ordered a pyjama set, which is very me. I know, I really love a silky pyjama set. And it's Ganni florals, which means it's a bit less like florally floral and a bit more like kind of pop art floral, I suppose. It's black with red flowers on it. It was on the outnet. Do you know the one I mean?
Yes.
Yes, it was on the outnet. So I got the whole set for £100, which I thought was brilliant. Yeah, like, not too bad. Definitely a lot more than I would have liked to have spent on a hen. I was like trawling Boohoo. So yeah, definitely a lot more. But actually, I figured better to buy something that I would definitely wear again.
I was going to say.
Anyway, so it's arriving today. This could all be null and void. It might arrive in like the next hour and be absolutely hideous on me.
Silky?
I think it's like a cotton, so not like a real satin. But my only concern is that they only had exactly my size available, but I would probably have sized up had they had the larger size on top. Anyway, we'll see. Yeah. I'll let you know how it works out. But anyway, it goes to show that there is a floral out there for everybody, even if you're not a floral person. But if you are a floral person, then have a look at the piece on the site because there are some lovely recommendations. All right, I think that's just about all we've got time for this week. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.